Okay, are we ready? Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the afternoon, December 7th session of the Portland City Council. Would you please call the roll?
Fritz.
Here.
Fish. Saltzman.
Here.
Fails.
Here. Commissioner Fish is going to be away this afternoon, but Commissioner Novick will be joining us. So thanks for your patience. We have a lot on the council calendar today, and we're trying to get a lot done. So bear with us, but we are now, I think we have anything left from this morning's calendar?
1365, I think.
13, help me out.
You're looking there. May I just read something into the record on the last subject
Please
that we
do,
were talking
and
about?
Then Sue can check and see if we have anything left from this morning.
Thank you very much. It was and I appreciate everybody's patience. Senator Avell Gordley called my office, and she wanted to convey that she knows many of the people who live in the Ellington apartments and that many of them are people with different abilities and or veterans. And so that's not generally known. So it's a particularly vulnerable population that's there. Good. So she wanted me to make sure that everybody knew that.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much. So anything that we still have, I'm looking at my own notes and I'm not sure if I've got it right.
Right.
So
1365 is rescheduled to tomorrow at 2. Oh,
that's correct. Oh, okay. 1365. So do you need to read it or can we just indicate that? All right. 1365 is rescheduled to tomorrow. So now we can proceed into the afternoon calendar with item 1366.
1366, accept the 2016 Portland Historic Landmarks Commission State of the City Preservation Report.
Mr. Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. It's a pleasure to bring forward this afternoon the 2016 Historic Landmarks Commission's State of the City Preservation Report. The first item of business is to thank the many dedicated volunteers who serve on this commission. They meet a minimum of twice a month and often for multiple hours as they review land use cases and provide advice. They are a hardworking group. It includes Kirk Ranzetta, the chair, Paul Solomano, the vice chair, Jessica Ingman, Corinne Carlson, Kristen Miner, and Matthew Roman. If you're here, why don't you all stand up so we can at least thank you for your service.
Thank you for your help.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'd like to just also recognize the dedicated Bureau of Development Services staff, who have been increasing in number due to the high volume of applications the Bureau has been receiving related to historic resources. The Commission will be presenting their 8th annual report to the Council, and I will note that this is the Commission has been operating in the city since 1975. So without further ado, I'd like to bring up the Chair, Kirk Ranzetta, and Vice Chair Paul Solomano.
Great. Welcome. Come on up.
Thank you very much, Council and Chair, for inviting us to present the State of the City Historic Preservation Report. I, too, would like to recognize, I think, our fellow Landmarks Commissioners and also the very able staff from BDS and BPS. I don't think we would be able to accomplish as much as we did over the past year without their very able assistance, and we appreciate that full staffing. It has come in definitely handy in the past year. So before I get into the meat of the I also wanted to introduce, obviously, Paul Solomano, who is the vice chair. We'll be kind of alternating as we kind of work through the presentation today. The very first thing I'd like to talk about today is the National Historic Preservation Act of 1966. It's very apropos that we're talking about that because it was signed into law in October 1966, 50 years ago. And even at a time, just to kind of provide a little bit of context, that they were in the midst of one of the most significant periods of upheaval that a country could possibly imagine at the time. The day before President Johnson signed the bill into law, the U.S. had sent 174 planes to bomb North Vietnam, and the Black Panthers had actually formed. So we're in the heart of a period of dramatic change, culturally, socially, and economically. And I think we find ourselves kind of in the midst of a very similar situation as we are making this presentation today. But one of the things that distinguished the act, and I think we have a lot to learn from, is that it reflected a broad coalition of groups, rural, urban, low economic status, high economic status. It was Republican and Democrats kind of coming together around a very central issue and coming to an agreement that something needed to be done amidst a period of dramatic change. And it even preceded the National Environmental Policy Act of 1969 by 3 years. So it was even prioritized ahead of more sweeping, broader environmental regulations being put into place. And so coming around to our priorities and goals, we've set out a number of different issues and recommendations from the commission that I think will guide our discussion today. And they include revisiting the Goal 5 rule making process, as well as the owner consent law and some of the legislative priorities we'd like to discuss today, the role of historic districts, and the type of design review that is currently being conducted and how that fits into the larger comprehensive plan that's been considered. Issues surrounding our residential neighborhoods in terms of demolition, character, equity, and affordability. Significant development pressure on streetcar commercial nodes, seismic retrofits, and then to sum it up, the issue of sustainability and stewardship moving forward. So the first issue that we're going to talk about today, and Paul's going to share, is concerning the state's preservation laws and the Goal 5 process.
Thanks, Kirk. So our first topic is fairly broad statewide. The Department of Land Conservation and Development has initiated changing the Goal 5 administrative rules. And they've been meeting for a while now. And the city is currently participating in this rule change committee. We have a couple of recommendations for this. First, we want the city to continue support participation and provide testimony for the January 2017 meeting. The second thing we're hoping the city will do is to scrutinize the Goal 5 language specifically for certain language and reject that language for three pertinent topics. The first is changing the definition of landowner to include easement and leaseholders. The second is rejecting language that allows property owners in historic districts to opt out of regulatory requirements, which basically would allow them to become free riders, reaping all the benefits of living in a historic district without any of the responsibilities. And then any rule that would exempt National Register listing from local protections. The second big statewide topic we have is repeal of the owner consent law. And we ask that this be put on the city's legislative agenda, and we ask that the city seek to repeal ORS 197.772. Repeal of this law will allow the city to more effectively meet its historic preservation goals, and it will basically stop property owners from self-zoning their own property. Kirk.
The second issue concerns issues.
Excuse me, just before you go on.
Sure.
I was just checking with the mayor. Will you automatically ask your staff to forward those legislative agenda priorities to the government relations folks?
Yes, we will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. The second set of issues concerns our historic districts in terms of height, floor area ratio, and compatible design. And the principal issues we kind of highlighted in the report are incompatible height allowances in zoning code. I know that the council has been fairly active in terms of those issues in some of the historic districts, including Grand Avenue, as well as Old Town Chinatown. Those are fairly significant issues in terms of trying to corral parcels that have significant development potential and making them compatible with the existing buildings that surround them. Also, some of the issues that we were concerned about concerning FAR bonuses. So not only, you know, within the comprehensive plan do we have these height limits, but we also have the potential for FAR bonuses. For instance, with the affordable housing incentives that are being proffered. So in addition to the height allowances for that the zoning code allows, you could consider additional stories being added on top of that. So that was that's certainly something that we are concerned about. And another thing is the lower level of reviews that's been proposed for affordable housing projects. I know that for some of the proposals, it would they would be handled principally at the staff level, and we would suggest that we maintain kind of the existing type 1, 2, 3, 4 levels of review for those projects. Our recommendations include making sure that we just have right zoning, right size zoning in historic districts, that we protect the character of the existing historic districts that we do have. And I think that that would help to provide clarity to some of the owners and developers by making sure that we further refine some of the existing design guidelines. Many of our design guidelines for existing districts are fairly old, and the PDC has certainly taken a leadership role in developing the revised guidelines for the Chinatown, Japantown area. And that will greatly help, I think, in ensuring consistency with the zoning code, because right now we do have this kind of difference between, for instance, height, the allowances for height, and then, you know, the issues of trying to make a tall building compatible in a low-rise area. And we also want to make sure that we create some kind of balancing act for the inclusionary housing incentive so that we don't put pressure on contributing buildings in historic districts.
So our next topic is residential neighborhoods, demolition, character, equity, and affordability. So I think this issue is probably pretty well known to everybody. The large number of demolitions, residential demolitions every year, loss of affordability, erosion of neighborhood character, those elements that make characters, neighborhoods unique and cohesive, and just the wasteful nature of you know, destroying the housing stock. And so we have a number of recommendations for this. One, we support the retention of existing houses, and doing this by increasing density on those properties through internal conversions and freestanding ADUs.
We did that this morning.
Yes. we're a little off on our time.
Oh, that's what we're supposed to.
Okay.
The other thing is to consider the historic context. So, you know, we think it would be a great idea to develop design standards and guidelines that recognize that our neighborhoods are unique and that new infill needs to respond appropriately to each neighborhood individually. And the third thing is to support the equitable creation of new historic districts. So, possibly through time or monetary support, help lower-income neighborhoods possibly create historic districts that would give them more control over infill and development in their neighborhoods.
The next issue is development pressure in our streetcar commercial nodes. And some of the issues are shared with the single-family residential zones in that there's fairly significant pressure to put in incompatible new development. These streetcar commercial nodes tend to be 2 to 3 story buildings, and they represent some of the major destinations for streetcars from the late 19th and early 20th centuries. And there's been a number of issues that have risen up, particularly on Belmont, Division, Hawthorne. A lot of those main kind of corridors used by streetcars that has bring this issue to the fore. And one of the other issues that comes up inevitably is the lack of recognition that these historic streetscapes retain integrity and have community value. So it kind of brings us around to having a revised HRI so that we can better understand what are the most significant concentrations of these commercial historic commercial storefronts, and we need to figure that out pretty fast in order to kind of keep ahead of the development pressure and provide incentives for folks to do the right thing. Some of the recommendations we have, obviously, to provide some protections in these areas, either by revisiting some of the design standards for new construction and also trying to encourage rehabilitation. Through incentives, perhaps by lobbying the state to have some kind of statewide rehabilitation tax credit that could be coupled with the rehabilitation tax credit for that the feds currently offer. Another one would be to encourage the use of the Oregon Main Street program. I think St. John's is one of the neighborhoods, the only neighborhood in Portland that is currently a Main Street community. And I think that's would be a significant shot in the arm in terms of developing more commercial interest in these older areas again. And then lastly, supporting the creation of historic districts in these commercial strips in order to conserve the existing building stock that we do have.
So our last issue is a seismic retrofit project for unreinforced masonry buildings. So this one's actually fairly straightforward in terms of an issue, much more difficult in terms of a solution. The basically, the requirements for seismic retrofit for historic structures requires a significant investment, and there just are not the financial incentives to offset the cost for property owners. So in our report, we have there's actually quite a few recommendations, but I'm just going to touch on a few of the principal ones. So one is regulatory flexibility. So flexibility for designated historic structures to find alternatives, alternative or creative ways to retrofit that preserves the structure and possibly keeps costs low. Another option, another recommendation would be to lobby for state and Senate incentives, specifically a rehabilitation tax credit to assist owners in designating and retrofitting their unreinforced masonry buildings. And a third would be to pursue FEMA funding for pre-disaster mitigation. FEMA has funds or had funds available for... if they're still around, they may have funds available for dealing specifically with planning to deal with historic structures prior to disasters. Thanks.
And the last component for the issues section is the general undervaluing of the economic, social, and environmental benefits of historic preservation. And that's perhaps the most challenging aspect for council to consider is to appropriately fund initiatives such as a new HRI for the city, because I think that's really the foundation for decision making when it comes to planning and to also developing a more thoroughgoing program to conserve the city's resources. You can't really know what to preserve until you know what you have, and that's the main reason why we think that the HRI is in general one of the critical things to kind of kick this off. But also, for every dollar that's spent on historic preservation activities, whether it's inventorying or rehabilitation, there's fairly significant multiplier effects, economic multiplier effects, that from studies in other states have generally come to a consensus that it ranges for every dollar spent, you get $13 of economic activity out of it. And so there's a fairly significant amount of opportunity cost that we forgo when we start demolishing a lot of the historic fabric of the city and we fail to kind of avail ourselves of the potential benefits that they offer from a tourism perspective, from an affordable housing perspective, and from a number of other issues. And so our recommendations are really to, for the city to take back a little bit more of a leadership role in terms of the planning for the future of our historic legacy. And to really come to value preservation as a sustainability tool, because again, the amount of landfill waste that comes from the demolition of historic buildings is considerable, and it increases costs for having to manage those landfills into the future. And to also be prepared for the next big earthquake, pre-disaster planning is critical. Very oftentimes, decisions are being made following an earthquake. That can lead to the unnecessary demolition of some of the historic buildings. We've seen it in several other instances, Katrina, San Francisco. But FEMA has developed a number of processes to encourage people to make better planning decisions in times of crisis such as that. And lastly, the recommendation is to incentivize historic preservation. One of the things that has happened is that very oftentimes we have a lot of regulatory sticks kind of hitting folks over the head and not enough incentives, financial incentives, regulatory incentives, to encourage people to go through a process that many view as being onerous. And so we want to create a little bit more of an opportunity for folks to see some of the more direct economic benefits. So I think that's kind of our presentation for today. And so we want to open it up to questions from council on any of those issues or other things that are of concern. Thank you.
Questions, concerns. This is always a good check-in, so we appreciate being able to do this. I have some things to note for the future myself, but I'll wait till we hear from everybody else. And other questions?
When's the last time the historic resource inventory was?
I think about 36 years ago. And there's been,
yeah.
Right, and I think some of that is related to the owner consent issue, is that when you start looking at some of the other communities throughout the state, such as Clackamas or County or Washington County, they haven't updated their HRIs either. As a matter of fact, they haven't nominated any new landmarks since the mid-1990s, I believe. And I think Portland has only done it 3 or 4 times. We've largely been protecting resources by listing them in the National Register as opposed to a local landmark process.
Yeah.
I appreciate your attention to seismic issues, and you're right, there is a FEMA pre-disaster mitigation pot of money, which sadly is normally around $30 million a year for the whole country, but we've accessed it before, and we'll try to access it again. I will also note that the president-elect seems to refer to virtually everything as a disaster, so maybe that's an indication that disaster-related funding will increase dramatically in his administration.
Thank you both very much. Thank you. Okay, are there other either commission members that want to speak or folks that signed up to talk about this report?
We have several signed up.
Okay.
Jim Hauer, Fred Leeson, Mary McMurray, please come up. And they'll be followed by Peggy Moretti, John Liu, and Constance Beaumont.
Okay. Good afternoon and welcome. Who'd like to lead off? Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Jim Hoyer, and I'm here today representing the Portland Coalition for Historic Resources. We applaud the message provided by the Landmarks Commission, and we strongly support their concerns and recommendations. We also want to commend them for their vigor in pursuing their responsibility for advising the City Council and City Bureaus on matters of historic preservation. We'd also like to second the comments that were in their written document about the work of Brandon Spencer Hartle, who has hit the ground running as BPS Historic Preservation Planner. Now, some comments that we have on this whole subject. Notably, the Commission's recommendation for updating the historic resources inventory has been repeated this year for what I believe is the 8th time in 8 years. Little has been done by the city to fulfill its duty to update the HRI, and the fig leaf covering this extended period of neglect of inventory has been the confusion surrounding the owner consent law and the language in the state's Goal 5 rules, which provide jurisdictions authority to provide such inventories. The inventory is important for reasons, as Commissioner Renzetta just pointed out, in part because Portland is an old city. We do not like to admit this, but the percentage of our buildings constructed prior to 1920 is greater than that of Philadelphia. So this is a completely different city from Phoenix or Houston or even Atlanta. If we are to continue to grow without destroying, which makes Portland a great livable and, yes, beautiful city, we will need to have a much clearer and more comprehensive understanding of what is important to be preserved and what is not. The Commission's report mentioned the ongoing revisions to the Goal 5 rules, and as a member of the Regulatory Advisory Committee working on those revisions, one of my personal objectives in our discussions has been to bring clarity to the Goal 5 rules, to strip away that fig leaf of confusion that has stymied Portland action on its inventory. I believe that the RAC's proposed new language will provide a degree of clarity that can allow all jurisdictions in the state to inventory and designate historic resources. I would urge the city leadership to become engaged in the process when the Land Conservation and Development Commission meets in January to consider these new rules. Mr. Spencer Hartle, as you've heard, is also a member of the RAC, and I expect he will be providing your staff's guidance on how you can help move the LCDC in the right direction. Finally, one area not touched on by the Commission's report is the state of the administration of Portland's protections for historic resources through historic resource review by the Bureau of Development Services. It's been several years now since this Council adopted the Historic Resources Code Improvement Project recommendations. Lessons have been learned about how HRCIP works, but BDS has often struggled with achieving predictability and consistency in their rulings. Partly that problem is the result of the obsolescence of most of the historic review guidelines, and especially the vagueness of the fallback guidelines applied in the Irvington Historic District, for which there is no specific historic design review guideline. With several neighborhoods currently exploring National Register Historic District designations, and with the prospect that the Goal 5 rule changes may make locally designated historic conservation districts practical again after some 20-odd years, we need another review of the historic resource review process coupled with new thinking on how to update and expand our historic design guidelines. The Portland Coalition for Historic Resources will be working with BDS, BPS, and Landmarks Commission on this subject as one of its highest priorities in 2017, and we hope that we will be able to bring you some proposals towards the end of the year.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Hoyer, thank you so much for your diligence. I agree it has been 8 times in a row that I've been here that we've asked for this. In fairness, we've had 6 cut budgets, so it's hard to provide more things when just deciding what to cut. I just wanted to thank you, as I did this morning, for your input on the residential infill project.
Appreciate the
your analysis. You put a lot of time into it, and I think we adopted many of your suggestions, so thank you.
Thank you. Leeson.
Good afternoon. Fred Leeson speaking on behalf of the Bosco Milligan Foundation and our Architectural Heritage Center that we own and operate. This is really a magnificent report, and I want to congratulate everybody that had a piece in writing it. It's more comprehensive than the brief display that you saw here. I think it touches every significant issue that the preservation community faces in a very thoughtful and insightful way. And better yet, it offers a lot of recommendations of how to move forward. So I appreciate that deeply. I would die to go to heaven if you could approve all the recommendations and adopt them and impose them and make them come to pass. I have a hunch I won't live that long. But I do believe, this race is a marathon, not a sprint, and we know that, and we're in it for the marathon. The Architectural Heritage Center's advocacy committee and our board some months ago, earlier this year, it kind of set our own priorities for 2016, and I was pleased that every one of them showed up in the report. The ones that kind of topped our list were advocating the state-level changes for the owner consent. We would love to see the state do incentives for historic commercial buildings. We realize these things will take time to happen, but we encourage the city to join us in that legislative effort. Historic resource inventory, you've heard a lot about. We support that. We'd love to see that happen. Since that was done, we've added a lot to the city since the 1980s. A lot of the East Portland neighborhoods have never, ever been surveyed. Finding incentives for unreinforced masonry buildings, extremely difficult. We see that as very important. And design guidelines to protect historic districts. These are all issues that we firmly believe in and hope that there will be some progress down the road. Thanks.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Mary McMurray, and I brought a little photo to refresh the memory for anyone who may not remember the Jansen Beach Carousel. Uh-huh. This photo was taken in 2007. And it shows a very satisfied rider on the carousel when it was still open to the public. We've been missing the many benefits that the carousel brought to our community since the Edens Corporation bought the property several years ago and removed the carousel from the historic resources list. This is a glaring example of why an historic resource in our city needs stronger protection. Although many people and local organizations have tried to contact the Edens Corporation about the missing carousel, all of their efforts have been stonewalled with no response from Edens. This is unacceptable. At a time when Portland as a whole is losing our shared community resources to the wrecking ball, bowling alleys, for example, interstate lanes, historic established restaurants, and many buildings of historic value, we must not sit idly by and allow the theft of the carousel to go unopposed. As a beautiful and participatory work of art, a healthy alternative to consumer-dependent and digitized entertainment, and an embodiment of democratic ideals, which I could go into at length but won't right now, and not least as a potentially lucrative investment for our region. For example, the city of Salem Riverfront Park Carousel is really an asset to the community. I urge the City Council to create a commission to investigate the potential of bringing the carousel back to the generations of citizens who love it. Perhaps with a united front composed with support from the city, the Regional Arts and Council Culture Council, Restore Oregon, and the Architectural Heritage Center, and the more than 400 members of the Facebook group Save the Jansen Beach Carousel, we can succeed. Thank you.
Thank you all.
For bringing that up again. I remember in my first term that either Mayor Adams or Commissioner Fisher, who was in charge of parks, had located it. I think we looked into it. So we'll look into it again. I also noticed in the report that apparently, well, I knew this actually, parks has a whole warehouse full of cobblestones, which we're waiting for people to want to take from recycling. So we will look into that again. And just thank you very much for being here.
Thank you all. Okay, you have some more?
Next three, please. Peggy Moretti, John Liu, and Constance Beaumont. They'll be followed by Sarah Stevenson, Karen Carlson, and Rick Michelson.
Okay. How many more do you have after that?
One more.
Okay. Good. Manageable. Good afternoon. Welcome. I think you may be on first, Peggy.
Sure. All right. Good afternoon. And I just want to quickly say thank you, Mayor Hales, for elevating the conversation about historic resources during your tenure. We really appreciate it. I am here, Peggy Moretti, representing Restore Oregon. I'm here to enthusiastically endorse the State of the City Preservation Report submitted by the Landmarks Commission. And rather than restate the points of the report, I'm just going to simply ask that you take them really seriously and act on them. Taking stock of managing, protecting, and actively incentivizing the adaptive reuse of the irreplaceable historic fabric of the city is not something to be brushed aside, because it's the historic homes, neighborhoods, churches, theaters, schools, fire stations, and storefronts that make Portland, Portland, and not any place else USA. It's what makes us so grateful to return home to Portland when we've visited some other city that lacks the sense of place and community that we tend to take for granted. Our historic buildings represent perhaps the largest cache of renewable energy that we have. But more than this, our historic buildings and districts are enormous economic assets, as the report points out. This rich and authentic character is what attracts new businesses, jobs, and tourists. Where do companies moving to Portland want to locate? In the converted old warehouse. Where do people want to go out to dinner? That quirky old pub that used to be a fire station. Where do they want to shop? That boutique that used to be a garage. If we lose our historic places, we don't just lose our heritage, we lose a huge economic advantage. Portland's unique older neighborhoods and streetcar commercial corridors are under greater threat today than at any time in 50 years. So in addition to echoing Landmark's call for a better RIPSAC proposal and updating our historic inventory, I urge the city to play a leadership role in state legislation that would throw some urgently needed weight in the scale on the side of preservation. I urge that the city's legislative agenda include two things. First, fix Oregon's broken historic designation process, as we were just talking about. The goal five, the owner consent, so that local jurisdictions actually have a say in what happens to historic properties like the Workman Temple and the Lotus Cafe, and the cultural and economic benefits that those places bring to the communities. We are the only state in the union for which the process of historic designation is completely one-sided, and that is very bad policy. Restore Oregon pledges to work alongside of you in the halls of Salem to lobby on behalf of that effort. Two, please introduce legislation for a seismic retrofitting incentive. We've had a lot of calls and continue to call for a state historic rehabilitation tax credit. We know that's going to be a really heavy lift in the current budget climate in Salem. But there is a proposal called Legislative Concept 1984 that may be our best short-term bet here for creating meaningful new economic incentives for restoration and reuse of historic buildings. and that would be addressing the seismic retrofitting expense, and I have been serving on that Citizens Committee, so I understand the dilemma we face there, but we can't move that forward, and it would be hypocritical to, haul out our comp plan and all the policies to talk about historic preservation, but not bring forward any economic tools to bring that to fruition. So if we want to mandate seismic upgrades, we're going to have to create financial tools, and I think this legislative concept has some legs under it that we really need to get behind and support. Without it, I don't think we can move that forward. And I just want to close by saying, obviously, what we do in this next year or two here is going to determine what Portland looks like and feels like for generations. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is John Liu. So we're in the midst of a time of great change in Portland, and that's a wonderful thing. The energy and optimism in this city is palpable, and it is exhilarating. In the midst of all this, the Landmarks Commission and the staff that support them perform a very critical task. They help guide the development of Portland in a thoughtful manner that preserves the livability and the unique beauty of our city and its heritage. So one thing I would ask the council to do is to consider supporting the Landmarks Commission and the staff in developing neighborhood guidelines, which will further direct that development in the most productive and forward-thinking way. And I would like to make a proposal, which is that in the historic districts that the city has, and in some that are perhaps in the process of formation, there's a tremendous amount of energy, expertise, and resources, both in time and financially. I would suggest that the staff could harness that private energy to produce guidelines that would serve not only those particular neighborhoods, but other neighborhoods who on their own might not have the resources to perform that task. I think that would be a win-win, it would be a public-private partnership, and it would serve our less resourced neighborhoods very well. Thank you.
Welcome.
Great, thank you. My name is Constance Beaumont, and just a personal note, before I came to Portland in 2003, I worked with the National Trust for Historic Preservation for a number of years, and in that capacity had the opportunity to work with cities and states around the country, so bring that background to my comments here. I endorse the Landmarks Commission's recommendations in its State of the City report. I agree with the earlier comments made. I think it's an excellent report. In particular, I hope the council will seek repeal of the state's owner consent law, which effectively gives people the option of opting out of public laws they don't like. Property owners are not allowed to veto determinations that scenic or natural resources are so significant that they warrant protection. They should not be allowed to do so in the case of historic resources. So all of the Goal 5 resources, scenic, natural, and historic, should be treated alike. Thanks to the owner consent law, cities in Oregon also lack an option that cities in most other states enjoy. I'm referring to conservation districts, which allow cities elsewhere to ensure that new homes in historic areas are compatible with older ones. But the conservation district regulations are often less restrictive than those governing historic districts, sort of preservation light, if you will. Oregon needs to bring back the conservation district option by getting rid of the owner consent law. My last point, given the conversation this morning about the residential infill proposal and demolitions generally, I agree that Portland needs more higher density development, but it should be well located and better designed higher density. There are exceptions, but much of Portland's new development is generic, nondescript, and often jarringly incompatible with what's around it. I'm convinced there will be less pushback against higher density if the city and the development community could devise strategies for encouraging better designed new buildings, buildings that people will want to protect 50 or 100 years from now. Last comment, I'd like to thank you. Can't be easy to listen to all of us day after day, but I appreciate your good efforts.
Some things that are easier to listen to than others. This is on the easy side. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right.
Then we do have just three more. Sarah Stevenson, Karen Carlson, and Rick Meidelson.
Okay, come on up.
Good
Good afternoon, Sarah.
Good afternoon. Shall I just get started? Sure. All right. So I'm here in three capacities.
Put your name on the record, sir.
My name is Sarah Stevenson. I'm here in my own capacity as a Portlander, as the Executive Director of Innovative Housing, and also as co-chair of the Old Town Chinatown Community Association's Land Use and Design Review Committee. In all of those capacities, I thank and support the Landmarks Commission for their service to our city and their stewardship of our city's historic resources. I agree and support with their report and everything in it. Starting with Old Town Chinatown, as you know, we straddle two historic districts that help define our neighborhood and make it a truly special place. As a community, we rely very heavily on Landmark Commission's expertise, advocacy, and protection of those districts. As individuals, we just don't have the skills or expertise to respond to the development proposals that come in front of us, and we look to Landmarks to help protect the neighborhood and the aesthetics and the historic resources that are there. And we're very grateful that the Skidmore design guidelines were updated this year, and we're very appreciative of the work that's gone into develop the guidelines for New Chinatown, Japantown. That district is facing a lot of development pressure right now, and those guidelines are more important than ever. We've seen the effects of development pressure on other historic buildings throughout the city. We're concerned that the comp plan, zoning changes, mandatory seismic code changes could further challenge the historic districts and historic buildings, much as you've already heard, making this preservation work that much more critical. As a developer of affordable housing, we've completed several historic building renovations, and we think historic preservation and affordable housing are a great combination. We personally have found the commission very good to work with on all of our projects. They've been flexible with existing conditions, they've made good suggestions for phasing in different elements, and they've maintained an efficient and transparent process. In our experience, they are achieving the city's goals around preservation while also understanding and supporting development. Finally, as a third-generation Portlander who's raising a fourth generation here, I believe it's incumbent upon us to honor and protect our history as we move forward. I appreciate all the time, energy, skill, and commitment that the volunteers on the Landmarks Commission bring to that effort. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Who'd like to be first between the two of you?
Oh, that's hard.
That's the right choice.
Hello. Good afternoon. I'm Karen Carlson, not the Karen Carlson who's the Landmarks Commissioner, just so you know. There we go. So I'm here today to talk specifically about a project that's been listed many, many, many years as an endangered project. This is the Morris Marks House. You can see a photo of it here. But before I start, I want to thank a couple of people. Thank you, Mayor Hales, and particularly Rachel Wiggins in your office for everything that she has done to help move this project forward. And thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for you and Zelaine in Parks. Without that, we wouldn't have a site to bring this house to. People have been trying to save and move this wonderful building for a really long time. Rick will let you know that he started in 1980-something on this. There's a lot of things that need to be done to get this house moved. It has to move from 12th Avenue down through Portland State University over I-205 to its lovely new destination at the intersection of Broadway, Broadway Drive, and Grant. There's a huge list of things that we're working on that need to be done. We have at least 6 permits. We have a number of land use issues. We have several bureau requirements. We have coordination with multiple agencies, including ODOT and the utility companies. And we have a big chunk of money for SDC fees. And yesterday, we finally heard from PSU. They are crucial in the house move since it has to go through their campus. And they have a number of conditions for us, and that amount to the tune of $124,000. That was a bit of a bomb that was dropped on us. But let me say that we have not given up. I'm going to let Rick talk about what he will commit to this project to make it happen and what we need from you and others.
Thank you. I'm Rick Michelson. As Karen said, we've had a number of unexpected expenses. We're now at a position where the budget for this project is about $1.4 million. And while the house is priceless to the community, its market value is only going to be about $900,000. So we need to work to cut that gap and fill it. We're looking at the obvious things first, cutting the scope of work, cutting the budget, asking for SDC waivers because the house exists and it's going there, simplifying the permit process a little bit. We're also talking about cutting the house into pieces. to see if we can reduce the impact on PSU and make it less, need fewer trees for replacement for the house. But that's not going to get there. We're going to have a gap of about $500,000 that I'm looking to the public and us to provide. And I'm here today to commit that even though we're having to pay $160,000 for the land, we will lease it to this project for $1 a year for 10 years. That gets our project down. I'm also here to commit to donating $150,000 at the Bosco Middleman Foundation on behalf of this project so that there can be some additional funds that come into it. And I'd also like this to kick off a fundraising drive for this to fill the rest of the gap. We think we have to spend another 2 or 3 months spending money before we know whether the project can go ahead. I want to make it happen. I will put every effort to make it happen, but I can't do it alone. Thank you.
You've done a lot. Thank you.
This is a 136-year-old house.
Yeah, it's a treasure. Thank you very much. Questions? Thank you all. And is there anyone else signed up? Anyone else to speak? Then is there a motion to accept the Landmarks Commission report?
So moved. Second.
Roll call, please.
Thank you very, very much for all of your work on historic preservation and on this report in particular. And thank you very much for those of you who are working and making contributions to protect our historic resources. Aye.
Well, this is the occasion every year where I talk about having been married in a church that was built before William the Conqueror invaded England from Normandy in 1066. And, you know, I would really hope that the Morris Marks House is going to be there in another millennium because of the care that people have given it and because we are going to find solutions. We've gone way too far. Thank you very much for the Landmarks Commission, both for this wonderful report. It seems like each year there's more pictures in it, which makes it much more understandable and relates to the beautiful language in it as well. And I'm very proud of some of the things we have got done this year, particularly the Skidmore Design Guidelines, which, again, you know, there's a lot of things that are happening in December that we're all working on getting our projects finished. And although I haven't got this particular one finished, I know that whoever has transportation in the next administration, whoever's mayor, we know who the mayor is, we'll all be continuing to work on these projects. And just keep asking about the historic resources inventory. It looks like we're going to be making 5% cuts again this year, which is discouraging. And still, we may be able to find ways to get things done. So thank you, everybody who participates. It's going to take all of us. Aye.
Well, thank you, Landmarks Commission, for another outstanding report. And again, thank you for all the hard work you do. It's not easy, especially considering that many of the challenges you lay down for us are ones we've all heard before, and we're all kind of wringing our hands why we can't get an updated resource inventory, why we can't fix the owner consent issue, and why we can't get Morris Marks House moved on a more economical basis. But I do appreciate the fact that we are saving Morris Marks House. I had a chance to tour it many, many years ago, and it's a real gem. So thank you for all your work in protecting all the gems in our city, and appreciate it. Aye.
Well, I have a number of comments, but first I just want to second the point that was made about just how dynamic a time this is. You know, there's some really powerful winds of change that are blowing through our city, if I can use the next couple of days' weather as a starting point. And those winds threaten to sweep away a lot of what's not bolted down, and that's why this work is so important and why I so appreciate the Landmarks Commission and our excellent staff, now augmented excellently, and it's going to be really necessary to have this kind of advocacy coming out of the community, people willing to serve on the commission, and a city government working in concert with all those folks to preserve more of what we love about the city. We are a city with a lot of historic buildings in it. There are houses, there are office buildings, there are all kinds of uses and structures, and there's a lot of work to do to save them. We've done some good things. I really appreciated the fact that we worked as a community to weigh in on that Lake Oswego case and got an important decision that really leads up to going to the legislature and changing that owner consent law. I'm proud of the fact that we now require deconstruction of 100-year-old houses, but I'm going to rely on this community and this council to ratchet that down to 80 and 60 as fast as possible so that we send one more signal in addition to the ones that we sent this morning in tuning our infill regulations, that we really, really don't want you to tear down that great old house. We want you to save it. We want you to reuse it as the structure that it is on the outside, but perhaps with an accessory dwelling unit in the attic. Figure out a creative way to use that old structure well for the next 100 years. But if you're absolutely going to remove it, then please take it apart piece by piece so those great pieces can be reused. And that's the last resort, and I hope it doesn't happen very often, but we should not just restrict that benefit to 100-year-old buildings. We have some things to celebrate in addition to these policy issues. There's some great projects underway. As police commissioner, I spent more time than I'd care to remember in the middle of the night in the entertainment district, and one of the problem spots was a bar called the Crown Room, which is now gone, and of course the great building that it was located in with plywood on the upper story windows is now undergoing renovation. The Ockerbach House in the King neighborhood was saved by an amazing action at the community level. Bing Sheldon would be very proud of Cira's design for the World Mark in Old Town that's going to reuse cast iron from structures that were demolished or taken apart in the 1950s. And then Brad Molson and Beam Development are taking the old Schleifer Furniture Building and bringing it back to life and scraping the paint off the windows that's been there for who knows how long on the upper floors. So there's some good things happening, and we rely on private property owners with, in some cases, help and incentives from the city to do the right thing, but it's even more wonderful when they manage to do it without our help. Yes, I'm very proud of the Skidmore Old Town Historic District guidelines, and that's another good piece of work by the city. Finally, the Morris Marks House, Rachel Wiggins is an amazing woman, and she's served our city very well as a member of my staff. She's done all kinds of things, which include keeping the city council on track, no small feat, managing our new process for special appropriations, talk about herding cats, she pulled that off, and she has labored passionately with the rest of this team on getting the Morris Marks House saved. I'm really glad that's going to happen. It's going to happen, and I appreciate the commitment of this council and this community to do that, and no one more, Rick, than you and Karen, that you have really put a lot of effort into this, and you deserve our partnership and thanks to get the rest of the job done. So both as mayor for the next few weeks and as private citizen, I'll continue to be part of that team, and I look forward to seeing that house come to life again in its new location. So great work. This report is always, as a couple of us said, a high point in the council's deliberations. So there are hard parts and easy parts of this job. This is an easy part, but there's hard work that this whole agenda entails, and I appreciate all of your commitment to it. This is a great old city, and thank you for helping keep it that way. Aye. Thank you very much. Okay. We will take a breath and move on into the rest of our agenda.
What are you doing next? Doing 1367
next year. Yeah, the LPA. All right, Sue, would you like to read 1367 for us?
1367.
Let's take a break for a moment. Let the chambers resort, and then we'll read 1367.